Philippians 1. We're going to continue our study through Philippians. And considering the conference this past weekend, I can't think of a better text for tonight. Our text is going to begin in verse 7, but let's start with verse 1 and read down to it. Verse 1 says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, every sinner that God put in Christ, every single sinner that God chose and immersed in the blood of Christ, all saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be to you. God's grace be to you and peace. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There are not many things in this life that I can be confident of. Not many. Not many at all. Will there be a tomorrow? One of these days there won't be. Right? Will there be a tomorrow? I don't know. I really don't know. We all have plans, don't we? We all have plans. We're all making plans. We're marrying and giving in marriage. And will there be a tomorrow? I don't know. God knows. Will God call out any more sheep in Kingsport? Are there any more souls that belong to him in Kingsport, Tennessee? I don't know. I don't know. God knows. God knows. I can tell you this, though. I'm confident in this. If God begins a work, God will finish it. If God begins a work, God will finish it. God never leaves any of his works undone. Isn't that good news? Never. He never leaves any of them undone. If God has begun a work of grace, God will finish that work of grace. If he ever calls a sinner, if God ever truly calls a sinner, God will keep that sinner. God will keep that sinner. Every single one of us can rest in that. We can just rest in that. We can be confident in that. And Paul says to every saint that is in Christ Jesus, is that if that's all our hope, I got one thing that I can hold on to. Christ Jesus. That's it. Every saint who says this is all I have. This is all I have. Christ Jesus. Every sinner who has received grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, every sinner that God chose to cover in that blood, every single one, he said, I thank my God for you. I thank God for you. And he said, I pray for you with joy for your fellowship in the gospel, having all confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's going to keep this fellowship? This is a wonderful fellowship. I love this fellowship. We had wonderful fellowship this weekend. We're having wonderful fellowship right now. And you know what I'm confident in? If God has begun grace in this fellowship, God will keep grace in this fellowship. If it's going to stay, God is going to keep it. It's the only way. And Paul said, I thank God for you. I pray for you, for your fellowship in the gospel. And I have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and his ability, what he's going to do to finish the work he started. Now, verse 7 says, even as it is right for me to think this of you all. The word meet means right. It means innocent. It means holy. Even as it is holy and innocent and right for me to think this of you all. This feeling that I have is right. Good and right. Verse 7 says, because I have you in my heart. And I love the margin right there. If you have a center margin in your Bible, it says, you have me in your heart. He said, because I have you in my heart. And that also translates, you have me in your heart. We have each other in our hearts, don't we? That love that Christ gives for His people, it's all the way deep in the heart, isn't it? I have you in my heart. And you have me in your heart. And that love is a strong evidence. That's what it is. It's a strong evidence. God has put you in my heart. God has put me in your heart. And that's a strong evidence. Paul said, it's good that I think this of you. It's wonderful that I feel this way about you. It's a strong evidence. Turn back a few books to 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3, verse 1 says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? He said, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. He said, you are written right here. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He said, we didn't do anything. God did all this. God did this. God moves on the heart. Verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. That Spirit in a believer, the Spirit of Christ in a believer gives life. The love of God in His people is the evidence of the love of God to His people. So Paul said, I'm so glad I feel this way about you. It's so relieving to me that I love you this much. That's a good evidence. Back over in Philippians 1, verse 7, he said, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. And again, if you have a center margin in your Bible, that those last three words say, with me of grace. You're partakers with me of grace. You've stood with me. We've stood together in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. We're all partakers together. Moses stood up in the gate of the city and he cried, who is on the Lord's side? That's what he asked all the people. Who is on the Lord's side? And Paul says right here, it has been evidenced That's what he's saying in this. It has been evidenced. Joshua stood up and he cried, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And Paul's saying right here, it has been evidenced. You know what we're saying by being here? Whom we will serve. That's what we're saying. Paul said, it has been evidenced. And he said, I thank God for it. I do too. I thank God for it. I really do. Choosing the way of the Lord. The salvation that the Lord has declared. Bowing the knee to His Word. That's the evidence. That's what it is. That is the evidence. Choosing Him is not the cause. He stood up and he cried, choose you who you're going to serve. How can a dead man do that? Choosing is not the cause. Choosing is the evidence. That old hymn writer wrote, 'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could never be. That could never be. Our Lord Himself said, you have not chosen me, I've chosen you. I've called you to myself. I've called you. I have allowed you to choose me. I've blessed you with the gift of being able to choose me. Choosing is not the cause, it's the evidence. This love is not the cause. Well, if you want to be saved, then you better love God and love your neighbor as yourself. It's not the cause, it's the evidence. It's the evidence. We love Him because He first loved us. So our choosing Him is the evidence. It's the evidence that He chose us. And our standing with Him, Paul said, you stood with me. Our standing with Him is the evidence that He stood with us. That's what it is, the evidence. Paul said, I thank God for it. I thank God. Verse 8, he said, for God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I long after you all to be in Christ. That's what I want. And I long after you all because you are in Christ. That's the reason that's what unites our hearts together. Because you are in Christ. I long after all of us to stay in Christ. I don't want to go anywhere. And I don't want you to go anywhere unless it's where the gospel is. I want us to stay in Christ. I long after you all in the bowels of Christ. Verse 8, he said, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 9, he says, in this I pray. That's the title of this message. That's the title of this message. This I pray. Paul says, because of what God has done for you and because of what God has done in you, because God performed a good work and because He chose you and because He put you in Christ, because of all that, this I pray. Four things. He gave four things that He prays for them. And this is what I pray for us. Man, this is what I pray for us. I mean, really, not just in a good outline. This is what I pray for us. Individually. Every heart, every soul. God is my witness how greatly I long after you all. And this I pray. Number one, verse 9. This I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's the first thing. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Knowledge of what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Do we know enough? I got it. See you later. Do we know enough? Man, one of these days we're going to know as we have been known. He said, I pray that your love may abound in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of His Word. He didn't just pray that they might have love. They already have love. If they didn't have love, they wouldn't have Christ. Love is the evidence. And He did not just pray that their love may abound. He said, I pray that your love may abound more and more and more and more. In the knowledge of Christ. The more that we know of Him, the more we love Him. You know that? The more we know of Him, everything we hear about Him causes us to love Him more. The more we know, the more we love Him. We meet together service after service after service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And it's not enough. It's not enough. Spurgeon had a Monday night prayer meeting in addition to their Wednesday night service. I bet you that was special. Wouldn't you love to get together with those men just for prayer? Brother Henry, during the years of his preacher's class, had a Saturday night service. The men in the preacher's class were able to preach in a Saturday night service. So they started Sunday morning with Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, Wednesday night worship, Saturday morning preacher's class, Saturday night worship, and then they started it all over again on Sunday morning. But we come here service after service after service to abound. That's why we come. To abound. Not just to know Him, to abound in knowing Him. I want to abound in knowing Him. Not just to know His love, but to abound in His love. Verse 9 says, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. The word judgment means sense. What is a sense? The human body is supposed to have five of them. Five senses. Paul said, this I pray. And this is what I pray. I pray that we might see Christ more. I want to see Him more. I have not seen Him enough. I'm not done seeing Him. Can you imagine in glory taking your eyes off of Him? People wonder, what are we going to do and what all is going to be there and will there be buildings and are we going to this and are we going to that? We're not going to be able to get past taking our eyes off of Him. I want to see Him more. I want to see Him more. I want to see His beauty more. I want to fall in love with Him more. I want us to hear His voice more. I don't want to meet here in vain. I don't want to do my duty. I went. When I come here, I want to hear His voice. I want Him to speak to me more. More. Bless me more. Talk to me more. I pray that we might smell. Last weekend, three men came to us and they clearly preached Jesus Christ crucified. Can't we say that? Can't we say those men preached Jesus Christ crucified about as clearly as you can preach Him? They brought to us the sweetness of His sacrifice. It was so sweet to me. We smelled it. We smelled it. I pray that we might smell it more. Smell it more. That He would enter into the fact that He would come here suffer for us, die for us, take our sin upon Himself, love us to the end. I want to smell it more. I pray that we might feel His touch. Don't you love it when you read those scriptures when He says, I'll hold your right hand. Okay. John was on the Isle of Patmos and the Lord came to him and he said, it felt like a trumpet was talking to me. It was just so bold. And he said, I turned around and when I saw him, I fell at my feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me and he said, fear not. I'd like to feel that more. I do not want us to abound in an understanding of dispensationalism. I want us to taste how good He is. That's what I want. I want us to taste how good and how sweet He is. That's the first thing that Paul prayed for them. Here's the second. Verse 10 says, that you may approve. And that word approve means try, examine, test things that are excellent. And the word excellent means different. He said, and this is what I say, I pray God would give us the discernment to see the difference. That's what I pray. The discernment to see the difference. There is a difference. There's a difference in what this world says and what this word says. There's a difference. There is a difference in the works of the law and the works of grace. There's a difference, isn't there? Can we see that difference? There's a difference in works in order to be saved. And works because we have been saved. I remember it was such a revelation to me the first time I realized I believe in works. I do. And I preach them. Just not to be saved. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference in trying to establish our own righteousness and clinging to His. There's a difference. There's a difference in man's lies and God's truth, false preachers and true preachers. It breaks my heart to hear people lump all preachers into the same category. They're all just good men trying to do the best they can, trying to teach people right. They're all saved, trying to win souls. Bless the preachers' hearts. That's just not how it is. There's a difference. There's a difference. Now, listen to this one. Listen to this one. I pray the Lord would still teach me this. I believe He has shown me this. I pray He'll show me more. I want to abound in this right here. There's a difference in preaching about Christ and preaching Christ. And the difference is so subtle, if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. There's a difference. This was article blessed me so much. It was so wonderful to me. I put it in the front of my Bible, and I've read it to you before. But it's called The Difference Between Preaching Christ and Preaching About Christ. And the man who wrote it said, years ago, I read the following quote by an unknown author. I can appreciate the ability of the learned botanist, a plant scientist. I can appreciate the ability of the learned botanist to give me the scientific name of a rose, the origin of it, the various types of roses, how and where they grow, and the number of petals, thorns, and leaves to expect on a genuine rose. I can appreciate that. But he said, too often those who become overly entangled in these things somehow lose the most important things, the beauty and the fragrance of the rose. I hope in our teaching, preaching, and witnessing concerning the gospel of our dear Savior, we do not become more concerned with the system more than the sweetness, with the mechanics rather than the mercy, with the right terminology rather than the right spirit and attitude. You will soon weary my head if you don't warm my heart. While I'm eager to learn more of how, why, and when I came to Christ, I would like to rejoice and enjoy my relationship with Him now. He is my Rose of Sharon, which brightens my life and sends His sweet fragrance through my soul. One can preach about Christ and not preach Christ, just as we can know how God saves sinners and not be a saved sinner. Oh, the wonder of it all, just to think that Christ loves me. There's a difference. There's a difference. Men can know how God saves sinners and not be a saved sinner. There's a difference. Paul said, this is the third thing I pray. The middle of verse 10, he said, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. What is the one true offense that will send a man or a woman to hell? What is the one true offense? It's unbelief. Unbelief. I pray that Christ might keep you and keep me looking to Him. And I mean this more so than when I wrote it yesterday. I pray Christ will keep us looking to Him and hoping in Him and trusting in Him and waiting on Him all the way up till the time that He comes back. No matter what means He deems necessary. No matter what means He deems necessary. Why can't this life be easy street for us? Really, why does it have to be so hard? The reason is because if it was, we would not spend it looking. If life was good, money was good, everything was good, relationships were good, how much time would we spend digging a trench in the Word of God? How much time? We wouldn't spend it looking. We would not spend it hoping. We would not spend it trusting, waiting. Go with me quickly to Colossians 1, over one book. Colossians 1, verse 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Now, if we are going to do that, that if is a big if, isn't it? If we are going to be kept, how are we going to be kept? By the power of God. If God keeps that faith in us, God has to keep that faith in us. By the power of God, the hand and the work and the means of God. And wouldn't we rather us be under whatever means He sees fit to keep us there than to give us easy street and off we go. Off we go. The good news is He's faithful and He'll do whatever He has to do to keep us. He's faithful. So back in our text, Philippians 1, here's the fourth thing, last thing. Verse 11 says, I pray that you might be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. The fruits of righteousness. John Gill said, the fruits of righteousness are good works. I pray you might be filled with good works. You tell the truth to a sinner, especially one who's been under the bondage of religion, and he's been set free from all that mess. First thing he says is, I don't want to hear anything about good works. Don't tell me anything about good works. But then once Christ reveals to that sinner, there's a difference. There's a difference. The Lord said, and Paul says, and I say for every one of us, I pray that we might be given over to good works. That conference last weekend was work. I mean, buddy, I crashed Sunday afternoon. It was work all week long. It was hard work, but it was a good work. It was a good work. It was a work of love. It was a joyful work. And I pray we all might abound in that work. Don't you want to do that again? I want to do it again and again and again. Serving in the ministry, the work of grace, love, kindness, hospitality, may we abound in that. It's the fruit of righteousness. And in doing that, we give God all the glory for it, don't we? I'm not going to have you turn, but our Lord said in John 15, let me read this one verse of Scripture to you, because it's so true. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And don't we all say amen to that? Without me, without him, we can do nothing. He starts all the work. He performs all the work. So who gets the glory for it? He does. He does. Verse 11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. To God be the glory. Amen. All right, let's stand together.